We may close our eyes as I pray. Our Heavenly Lord, our God, we are thankful this morning, O God, to come before your holy presence. Thank you for this gathering of believers. Above all, Lord, we thank you for your word that is not compromised, your word that is not peddled with in this church. We thank you for the few that comes to gather here, those who love the Lord Jesus Christ, those who want to hear and learn about the Lord Jesus Christ and the beauty of Christ and the horrific horror of sin. Thank you, Lord, for guiding us into this path of love. Thank you for leading us even this morning. So we ask, O God, that you may shower us with your blessings, that you may open our ears and my mouth as I speak, that we may move through your Holy Spirit, O God, in this place. We ask all this in the name of your Son. Protect us, O God, from any error. May we speak the ways that comes from you. May we teach one another according to the truth of your word. May we look unto you, O God. May we decrease, O God, as you increase this morning. We thank you, Father, and we ask all this through your Son, for the sake of Christ, our Lord. We all say, Amen. Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. Church, good morning. I'm really grateful to be with you this morning, and I thank the Lord for you. The fact that together we stand to build this church together, we come to enjoy the beauty and glory of Christ. That actually we are part of this big movement that God is doing in this place. What a great thing to be part of God's work. I hope that you know that is you. You are part of God's work. For the past 2 months, we have been looking at the gospel according to Matthew. And what we're trying to do, and that is what we will continue to do, is to introduce Christ Jesus. Who is this Jesus? Because he is forgotten. Even by those who call upon his name, they have lost the real meaning of who this Jesus Christ is. But then we have taken a break. Last week we looked at Psalm 42. We looked at the outcry of the troubled soul. We asked, what can trouble a soul? We said, sin can trouble a soul. Depression can trouble a soul. And the challenges of this life troubles our souls. But what should a troubled soul do? We said 3 things. A troubled soul needs to thirst for God. A troubled soul, secondly, needs to seek for God. He cannot just thirst, but he must take the initiative to come and seek God. And thirdly, a troubled soul needs to hope in God. We're just trying to encourage one another. So I want us to continue in the same note as well this morning. So please, if you will turn in your Bibles then to Exodus chapter 15. We're still on our break. To those who love the gospel according to Matthew, we apologize. Exodus chapter 15. And we'll read together then from verse 22 to verse 27. Though our attention really will be in verse 22 to verse 25 this morning. Exodus 15, verse 22 to verse 27. It reads as follows. Here is the word of God. Then Moses made Israel set out from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Mar, they could not drink the water of Mar because it was bitter. Therefore, it was named Mar. And the people grumbled against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried to the Lord. And the Lord showed him a log, that is, he showed him a tree. Then he threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. The Lord made for them a statute and a rule, and they tested them, saying, if you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God, and do that which is right in his eyes, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes. I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord, your healer. Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 17 palm trees, and they encamped there by the water. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. The first thing to ask in life, when life takes a difficult turn, is where is God in such a situation? Because in most cases we enjoy happy moments. We enjoy happy moments so much that we forget that soon things may turn to be bad again. And when things finally then turn, we feel as if it will never be okay anymore. You can sit there and ask yourself a question. How many times have you seen the grace of God in your life? But as soon as there's some kind of trouble in your life, then you begin to forget God. You soon depend on yourself. You soon depend on the things that you can do for you. You soon make plans for yourself outside the counsel of the Holy Spirit, outside the counsel of God. But friends, we need to know that sometimes life is discouraging. But this morning, there are three realities of the Christian experience in this world that I want us to see from this passage. Three things that I want to draw from where we just read, which speaks of the Christian experience. Our pilgrimage while we are still here on earth, looking forward to the promised land. First, it's a waterless life that you see in verse 22. So I'm speaking in metaphoric language this morning. A waterless life. In verse 22 it says, then Moses made Israel set out from the Red Sea, and they went to the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Secondly, a bitter water life. That is in verse 23. When they came to the wilderness of Mar, they could not drink the water of Mar because it was bitter. And thirdly, is the sweet water life that is found in verse 25. It says, and he, that is Moses, cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a log, the Lord showed him a tree, and he threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. So three things this morning: a waterless life, a bitter water life, a sweet water life. And I know that in our days people don't walk very long distances anymore. And those who walk long distances, we see them in the morning, they're jogging. What they are trying to do is just to lose weight. But what you see is they carry a bottle of water, because they know that traveling or walking a long distance without water is very dangerous to the body. You can faint, you can die. Even cars these days, they will not drive a long distance or any kind of a distance without water. So a lack of water is a very challenging and distressing thing. It's a picture of a distressful life. And that is what we see here in verse 22. The Bible tells us that the Israelites, they traveled for 3 days without water. What a great test for them. A test of character. A test of trust. And I want you to realize that this happens immediately after they've sung their joyous celebration song. A song of victory. You can see it from verse 1 to verse 23. They just passed the Red Sea. God has just eliminated their enemies. Now they've come to the wilderness. They enter, after the Red Sea, they enter the new place now. And they sing a new song. Listen to the first verse of the song. And I like the first verses. It says, I will sing to the Lord in verse number 1. For he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. What a picture of victory. What a picture of the power of God. They passed the Red Sea. The sweet smell of victory is still on the air. The voice of the horses and the chariots drowning into the sea is still echoing on their heads. This happens after the people have seen this great power of God. They've already believed God. They've already worshipped God. What a good picture of the Christian life. after you've just come into Christ, you start singing these songs and you cannot help but sing to the Lord. You cannot help but praise the Lord. But then they enter the wilderness of Mara. This happens just immediately after they've made a clean break between Egypt and themselves. You can see now there's two different people in the world. There's Egyptians and there's Israelites. There's two types of a people. A picture of the saved and the unsaved. Now they're singing this good song because they have passed the difficult time of their life. But these things happen just after they've enjoyed and they partook on the Passover meal that you find in chapter number 12. A picture of Christ, who is our Passover lamb. Immediately after that, we see the reality of the Christian life. It begins that long process of sanctification in the life of the believer. That long process, the hard process of being conformed to the Son of God. And it begins by a test of faith. And friends, it is quite clear that these people, they expected to move from slavery into the promised land without any challenges. But the Bible says they came to the wilderness of Shur. And I can tell you now, it is exactly what we normally feel as Christians, that what we normally think as Christians. We think that as soon as we give our lives to the Lord, as soon as we accept Jesus Christ into our hearts, as soon as we cry out and say, Lord, save me, I'm a sinner, and He pour out His grace and He saves us, as soon as He does that, we think life is going to be better. We think life, everything is going to be smooth. There will be no ups and downs in life. But what we see here is something quite different. We think at times that we'll walk through life without entering the tribulation of the wilderness, the tribulation of our pilgrimage here on earth. And the Bible says they traveled for 3 days without water. You can look in verse number 22. In verse 22, it begins by saying, then. In other translation, you would say, so. It links what has happened. It links the song and what is happening. In other words, after that, after the victory song, after the song of praise, they entered the wilderness. They entered the place of suffering. They entered the place of lack, the place of tribulation. Now their greatest joys and hope are soon turned into the greatest grief and fears of their lives. They're traveling without water. Friends, sometimes in life you can experience blessings. Sometimes in life you just experience hardships. There is also that time where it seems that there is nothing that you do that seems to be okay. Nothing that you do that seems to work out for you. Where God seems to be silent in your life. Where there is nothing that will bring joy and the peace of mind in your life. Where everything is dry. And there is nothing to quench the thirst that is within your soul. And friends, that is the reality of the Christian life. We'll go through hardship to enter into the kingdom of God. In other words, though our salvation is secured, we are still traveling in the wilderness, in this world. This is the world of wilderness. This is the world of trials. We're still looking forward to the promised land, but we have not yet come to the promised land. So there will be challenges in this life. We have not yet entered that place of rest, where we find complete rest. Yes, we have come to rest, since the Bible says those who are in Christ, they have come to rest, but the rest is not yet completed. We are still traveling in this world. We need to know that things like this will come. So, though our salvation is secured, but the road that we still have to travel is hard. There will be lots of challenges and discouragements along the way. And sometimes it seems that we can handle it until we realize that actually we cannot handle it, because all these things should help us to focus our attention to the Lord Jesus Christ, to fix our eyes unto Him, the author and the finisher of our faith. So look at these people. While they did not have water in the wilderness for 3 days, they did not ask God for it. They did not ask the Lord for water. That is something that is happening in this world. We believe that God is sovereign. We believe that God can do anything. But people are unable to bow before God. People are unable to cry unto God and say, Lord, I'm in trouble. But we know that God can deliver. We know that, I don't know if we doubt or we don't have faith. But these people, they traveled for 3 days and none of them cried to the Lord and said, Lord, there is no water in the wilderness of Shur. Friends, God is sovereign. But there is something called human responsibility. The Bible says, cast your cares upon the Lord and He will sustain you. It will take a Christian to bow on his knees and ask the Lord. The whole New Testament is encouraging us to pray unto God. In times of trials, in times of trouble, even when there's no trouble, we must pray unto God because He alone knows our lives. I'm told that the Apostle James, the one who wrote the book of James, they even gave him a nickname called Camel Knees. You know why? His knees were so hard, like a sole of a shoe, because he spent hours and hours in prayer. He started to build hard skin on his knees. The Lord encourages us to speak to Him. The Lord encourages us to come to Him when we have troubles and trials in our lives. Because we are still in the wilderness. We are on our way to the promised land. We have not come yet to the place where there will be no need for prayer. A place where there will be no sorrow, no pain. A place where there will be no need for the sun to shine by day and the moon by night. A place where there will be no darkness but light. Because the Lord Himself, God, will be a light there. We have not yet come there. We need to call upon the Lord. And these people did not. So we learn from this that it's possible that when you go through life, you even forget to call upon the Lord. But as we think of these things, as we think of the life without water, indeed we get troubled. We are troubled to think of these things because sometimes you realize that it is a life without water, but it's just the beginning. Sometimes it's not the end, it's the beginning. Even worse things are still to come. But the Lord will always say, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know I'm in control. Be still and know I will supply all your needs according to my riches in glory. If you will just trust and turn to me. But things do get worse sometimes in life. Secondly, you look at verse 23. As they were going through the wilderness, a place without water, the wilderness of Shur, you can see they did not anticipate that they will come across bitter water. They expected to find water. That's what they were longing for. And it happens sometimes, you pray and you pray, and things just get worse. And these people were traveling in a wilderness of Shur without water for 3 days. Now they come to the wilderness of Mar, and they found bitter water. They did not expect this kind of water. Then the Bible says, when they came to this place, this wilderness of Mar, they started to grumble. They lost all hopes, saying to Moses in verse 24, what shall we drink? You see, this is what happens in life. When things get to be tough, the people, they turn to the leader in whom God has given, and they ask questions that imply that if they were the leaders, they were going to do it better. Now they ask Moses, what shall we drink? How can they expect Moses to provide water for them in the wilderness? Because Moses himself is in the wilderness with them. He's thirsty himself. Why can't you just lift up your eyes unto the Lord? But then they come, they ask Moses. They grumbled. But what you see is that they move from west. They move from bad to west. From a place of no water to drink to a place of undrinkable, unhealthy water. Unpleasant water. But what I want you to see is that God can teach us something there before I move on. The water that they drank, it was bitter, but it didn't kill them. No situation that is out that you may come across how difficult it may be, that will kill you. The water did not kill them, but it was bitter. But that's what life sometimes offers unto us. And that's one of the most devastating moments of life, my friends. When you think that you have just come, you have finally got your big break, and you realize that you have just hit rock bottom. You see, they've just found themselves water. Just like the pleasures and the satisfactions we find for ourselves in this world, it soon turns bitter anyway. But in most cases, why those things happen, you realize that God actually wants to use that kind of a situation to draw us to the arms of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, where true comfort is experienced. And at times, this experience of bitter water needs to teach us that there is that bitter experience that we'll go through in this life until the Lord Jesus Christ comes. But we shall see in a minute or two that God is always there. God is always there to save us, to rescue us, to lead us, if you can only believe and trust in Him. So they began to grumble. They grumbled against Moses, the very Moses who risked his life and stood against Pharaoh, the greatest king of the time, a most fearful man. Now they grumble against him. They grumble against the very Moses who stood up and led them. The one in whom God's hand, God's grace is upon. They grumble against the man. That's what people do. And I'm not saying, my friends, grumbling, which is actually complaining. I'm not saying grumbling or complaining is wrong until it is unreasonable. This is unreasonable complaints. They grumble because they think so highly of themselves. They think that they are a people who does not deserve this. Have you come to that place where you think you don't deserve it? And I just want to find out, what do you deserve? Is God's grace not enough for us? I'm not saying it is wrong to grumble, but we need to understand, how far will you grumble? And in your grumble, what is it that you do? They grumbled, thinking so highly of themselves, thinking that they deserve more. They wanted to live some kind of unrealistic life. The life of claim it and have it. This devastating heresy that we have this day. Claim it and you have it. That's what they wanted to live. Friends, the Bible does not teach that come to Jesus and He will wipe all your debts away. Come to Christ, He will fill your bank with money. The Bible doesn't teach that. I'm not saying Christ is unable to do it, but that's not the reason why we come to Christ. That's not the reason why we call sinners to Christ. That's not the reason why we will call anybody to Christ. Come to Christ because we have sinned against God. We are an enemy of God, but Christ has come by the grace of God to reconcile you with the Father, that you may enjoy the blessings of God in this world and the world to come. But that is heresy. Devastating heresy. They come to Jesus, claim it and have it. It's from demonic possessed people who stands in a pulpit and pose as pastors. They are demon possessed. Regardless who they are, might be your friend or your uncle, is demon possessed because he's teaching demonic doctrines. But we come to Christ for a different reason. We come to Christ because it's beautiful than sin. When we look at Jesus and we look at sin, Jesus draws us. He's more attractive to us than the sin of this world. So friends, sometimes life is waterless. Life is dry, uncomfortable, so that we can cry unto God and say, as the deep pant forth flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul pants for God, the living God. When shall I come before you, O God? So said the psalmist. Sometimes these things happen so that it draws us to the Lord. Sometimes life is waterless, but sometimes life is bitter, so that we may cry like Moses. As the Bible says, the grumblers, they kept on grumbling. But the man of God called unto God. He lifted up his eyes unto the Lord. He lifted up his eyes unto the hill where his help shall come from. Where will you lift your eyes unto? times of sorrows, in times of trials, in times of great challenges, in life-threatening situations. Whom are you going to call? We need to come to our brothers and sisters and ask our brothers and sisters to pray for us, to pray with us. But our hope must not be unto men. Our hope must be unto the Lord. We must look up to God. We must cry unto Him, for His ears are not deaf, that He may hear our cry. So, this bitter water, friends, should also remind us of our bitter lives which God laid upon His Son. Remember your bitter life, that life of sin that you could not get rid of. God has laid it upon His Son. That cup that we could not drink, God laid upon His Son the iniquities of our sins, so that we may come to Him and drink from the fountain of water, that sweet water that fell from His sides, so that we may be refreshed and nourished in our lives, in order that we may receive the Spirit who now help us in our weaknesses, the Spirit who make intercessions for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. Bitter water of this life can be turned sweet. That is our next point that we'll look at. Can be turned sweet, my friends. And only Christ Jesus can do it. Listen to what Jesus says. These things should remind us of what He says. He said, everyone who drinks the water of this life, the water that this life gives, he will be thirsty again. But whosoever drinks the water that He gives him, he will never be thirsty again. So friends, sometimes life is bitter, but dare not to grumble. Lift up your eyes unto the Lord. Cry unto Him like Moses. It can be a life of no water, a life of no hope. Life which soon turns to a life of bitter water, bad experiences. But He will turn it into a life of sweet water. That's what we're going to see in verse 25. Let's read verse 25 again. And he, that is Moses, he cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a log, the Lord showed him a tree, and he drew it unto the water, and the water became sweet. Friends, there is sweet water. Exodus 15, verse 25. There is sweet water. But sweet water is only possible when someone else intervenes into life and turns bitter water into sweet water. We don't travel in the wilderness. We don't carry on our journey, this pilgrimage on life, and just find sweet water. There is bitter water. Sometimes there's no water, but the bitter water or no water situation, someone needs to come in and turn the situation of life. There is somebody. The Bible says, Moses cried unto God, and God showed him, He pointed him. That's what the Bible says. He pointed him to a log, a tree, and in which, I like the King James, in which when he threw it unto the water was made sweet. Glory to the Lord our God for sweet water. Hallelujah. So now we can see that as soon as Moses cried unto the Lord, God points Moses to a tree. In other words, in desperate times, God points to a tree in response to the cry of the faithful, those who trust in Him. God responds by pointing to the tree. Has He pointed you to a tree? Because I think He did, but maybe He didn't see that He was pointing you to a tree. So in times of devastating situations, He points to a tree. But what I like about this is that God responds to His people, those who are faithful, not the grumblers. Moses, who cried unto the Lord, God responded. So as they hang their heads in defeat, as they seem to be hopeless, God pointed them to a tree. God intervened to their lives to show them that He is in control, that He will never leave and forsake His own children. Because their response to the situation was grumbling. Moses' response to the situation was calling unto the Lord. The Lord's response to the situation was provision. Who provides for you? God provides. John the Baptist himself, where we just read, in the gospel according to John, he says, no one can have anything unless the Lord gives. It was God who gave them. It was God who pointed them to that tree. So now, the Lord wanted them to put their trust upon the tree, because this tree is the only tree that will turn bitter water to sweet. God points to a tree which will provide drinkable and healthy water. So friends, you need to trust that God's presence in your life is sufficient for any situation. But the question is God actually present in your life? And I pray that He is, because His presence is sufficient for all our needs. And I will tell you that, my friends, even today, there is a tree which God points His people to. There is that tree which every nation, every tribe, and every language, and every family, those whose soul is troubled by sin, those whose soul is troubled by trial and Satan, there is that tree in which God points such people to. Those of Christ's spirits, those in a dry land, those who are thirsty, those who are heavy laden, He points them to a tree, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, the sweet Jesus, who alone turns bitter water to sweet water. But even for those who have been saved, those who have been walking with Christ, but things ain't going well, God still points us to a tree. Don't lose your hope. Don't lose focus. Hang on unto Him. There is that tree. John Piper, Dr. John Piper, he's right. He says, when you see God doing one thing in your life, He's actually doing a million things in your life. You just see one. God is doing a million things behind the scene, setting you up for something good. I will prove to you just now. So after God turned their water sweet, then here's God revealed Himself as Jehovah Jireh. In verse 28, He revealed Himself as the God who heals, the God who takes away the bitterness of life and heal our diseases, in whom through His stripes you have been healed. Listen to this beautiful quote from John Calvin. Not Calvin Mnyaken, John Calvin. Listen to what Calvin says. God showed His immeasurable mercy and changed the nature of the water for the purpose of supplying such wicked and rebellious and ungrateful people. God didn't care how ungrateful, how rebellious, how sinful they were. He just provided water. You tell me, what did you do for God to bring you to Christ? Nothing. God had to overlook your sin. That's grace. God has to love you above what you've done and provide for you. The Lord Jesus Christ, the cross of Christ, where He was crucified for our sins, that whosoever now comes to Him may not perish. Whosoever cry unto Him and say, Lord, save me, then He saves him. You have not done anything. You cannot do anything. There is nothing that you can bring unto Him. Another song says, what can I bring but nothing in my hands, nothing within me? All that is me is sinful and wicked. So that's why I need something outside of me, something not born of this corrupt nature. I need God. You need God. As a sinner, you need God. As a saved man, you need God. As you continue in this life of no water, bitter water, you need God. Listen to what Dr. Kent Hughes says. He says, stop wondering when God will provide. Just wait in faith until He does. Is that not beautiful, my friends? There's something I just want to tell you now. Yeah, a shocking encouragement that I want to show to bring to you. It's shocking, but it's encouragement. For hundreds and hundreds of years back, before the Israelites were delivered from Egypt, God planted a tree in the wilderness where He knew they would stumble upon. He planted a tree there so that it may provide for them as they get there. Friends, you need to put your future in the hands of God, who knows the end from the beginning. He doesn't fly to the end and see what's going to happen and fix your life. No, He doesn't. He prepares the end. As we go through life, it is God
who leads us in this life. Put your life unto God in the hands of God.
Is that not shocking encouragement? That 1,000 years before they came to the wilderness, God just planted the tree there. Just not in case, but surely they will stumble upon bitter water.
So friends, there are times of trial in life, but in all these times, you better fix your eyes unto the Lord. And then if you fix your eyes unto the Lord, you will not be weary like those who perish.
And I can tell you this, if the Lord could deliver us from our slavery of sin and Satan, how will he then fail to point us to the tree? How would he fail then to provide sweet water for us?
If he can plant a tree, if he can put a tree in advance, like he did 2,000 years ago when me and you were not born, he put a tree. Christ was crucified on a tree.
If he can put that there, how can he then not deliver us? How can he not point us then to a tree? Because he's a gracious God. Friends, God is near to his people, regardless of what situation it is. He's aware of our needs, and he's ready to provide for you. And by his grace, he provides you a tree, which immediately turns your bitter world into a sweet world. So you have to look upon the Son of God to live. You have to move your eyes away from the idols you have created for yourself in this world. You have to fix your eyes unto God. You have to look away from the work of your hands and trust unto God. So forget your wounds of no water. Forget your tears of bitter water. There is a tree, and there is someone who hangs on it, on that old rugged cross, now that is despised by the world. If you can just turn unto him, because only that old rugged cross can turn your no water, your bitter water, into sweet. And I can tell you, my friends, life is not always dry, life is not always bitter, and life is not always sweet anyway. But in Christ Jesus, life will always be eternally sweet, because he provides us life for now and life to come. May we all think about this thing. May we all praise the Lord for Christ. May we all look back and say, one day our tears will be wiped away. And one day this temporal enjoyment that we have, this temporal sweetness that we have, will be fulfilled, will be complete. And we shall see him face to face. If we can just come unto him, if we can just believe in him. Let's pray. God bless you. We are thankful, Lord. We are grateful, oh Father, this morning for reminding us of your grace and your mercy, your provision, oh God. Thank you, our wonderful King. We thank you for a life of no water. We thank you for a bitter life, because all these things will point us to Christ. All these things challenges us not to put our trust and our hopes upon us, upon what we can do, but that we may cry unto God, as Moses did, and lifted up his eyes. So help us, O God. Help your church to lift their eyes unto you and be saved by Christ. To look unto the cross, that log, that tree, which turns bitter water sweet. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, we all say Amen.
Amen.
Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all times and now and forever. Amen.
May the good Lord bless you until we meet again.